Show Me the Way, episode 27, Door to Door to Publishing Empire. This episode, we talk with Greg Justice about his experiences working door to door as Kansas City's first personal training center, to the evolution that he's made to the internet, books, publishing, and product development. He's now an expert in all of these things. Welcome to Show Me the Way, a podcast presented by Spencer Fain LLP about business succession planning, the merger and acquisition experience, and successful exits. I am your host, Dave Sider, and today, joining me on today's show is Greg Justice. For almost 40 years, Greg has achieved success in growing his one-person fitness business to multiple business entities that expand, frankly, from coast to coast. Greg wants to share his insights, observations, secrets that he's had in growing exponentially multiple businesses from the original door-to-door salesperson to his nationally known publishing company. Greg, welcome to the show.
Mr. Sider, it is a pleasure to be here. It's been a long time since I've seen you, so it's good to see you again.
Which is code for yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to have fun. I promise all the listeners that that's what's going to happen. So, Greg, go back through your experience. I want people to get to know you. Where were you born?
Well, I am an Air Force brat. So I was born on an Air Force base just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, of which I have zero memory. My first memory of life was in Okinawa, Japan, and I have lived all around the world and graduated high school in Anchorage, Alaska, and ended up in lovely Kansas City because that's where my bride is from.
Okay, but we got a few stops in there. So tell us.
A lot of stops.
Your dad was in the Air Force,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, 30 years.
Okay. And so where were the various Air Force bases or stops that you made?
Well, we started again right outside of Nashville, Tennessee, moved to Okinawa, Japan, which is a little blip in the South Pacific Ocean. From there, it was Texas, Amarillo, Texas, which I've heard is called the armpit of the world. That's just what I've heard.
Ooh.
I don't know. From Amarillo, Texas to Wichita, Kansas, from Wichita to Eastern Kentucky, from Eastern Kentucky to Colorado Springs to Anchorage, Alaska to Omaha, Nebraska, Omaha to Olathe, Kansas, back to Eastern Kentucky, back to Kansas City. So here, there, and everywhere. And anywhere I put my head down in the evening, I call home.
So did you get frequent flyer miles with all these trips?
Yeah, on Southwest.
So we know that Southwest wasn't around for part of that time. This guy's been all over the universe. So you were at the Air Force Academy
for a while. That was our longest stay. Of anywhere. Usually you get 3 years, but my dad put in for 2 1-year extensions. So we got 5 years on perhaps one of the most beautiful Air Force bases in the country, perhaps the world. But then we went from Colorado Springs to Anchorage, Alaska, which is another just amazingly beautiful scenic area. So two back-to-back stays in Colorado Springs and Anchorage, Alaska. And that was all through my junior high and high school years. So those are really fond memories and beautiful places to spend that time.
All right, Greg. So I want to add a little fun fact to all of this movement about some of your work experiences in the summer in Eastern Kentucky, because I think this will be meaningful to a lot of people on how far you had to go to get to the point that you're at. And I am talking about mining, so to speak.
Yes, yes. Well, I think I kind of need to set the stage a little bit for that because that I actually transferred to a school called Morehead State University in Eastern Kentucky. From that point on, that was actually my third year in college. I worked my way through college deep in the coal mines of Eastern Kentucky. And the reason I ended up there is because my first 2 years of college in Olathe, Kansas, I didn't realize you had to go to class, so I actually ended up with a stellar 1.4 GPA, of which my parents were not too thrilled. So that was the same time my father retired from the military, moved back to Eastern Kentucky. I followed them back there and took a job in the coal mines to work my way through the rest of my undergraduate and then what turned out to be my graduate degree as well. And what that did for me, working in the coal mine, really gave me insight into what I didn't want to do for the rest of my life. And it was very impactful, even though I was at that point majoring in coal mining technology. It really showed me that I did not want to do that for the rest of my life. So I appreciate going through that, doing it, hard work, but very gratifying in the sense that it really gave me insight into what I needed to be doing, and it wasn't that.
Well, see, I learned something. Every time I do this with somebody I know before the broadcast, I learned something. I did not know you're majoring in coal mining technologies. Interesting.
Yes, I was at that point. At that point, I was. But again, I quickly realized that that wasn't what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And I got back into exercise science. From that point on, you know, I went from that 1.4 GPA to graduating with a 4.0 GPA and on the president's list. And I think that just goes to show, once a young man or young woman finds their direction and finds their purpose and their passion, you know, good things happen, because that GPS guides you toward your ultimate purpose. And good things did indeed happen the rest of the way out once I changed my major back to the exercise science world, and have never looked back since.
Well, there you go. Here's the first lesson of the day, ladies and gentlemen, especially for those of us that have children, which is most of the people that listen in, I think. No disrespect to those of you that don't, but passion and purpose will get your kids to where they need to go in life, as opposed to what mom and dad want them to do. Now, you have talked to me over and over again that you started out selling your wares. That is what you did as a personal trainer. You started out in the concept of what is known as door-to-door sales, which I always find fascinating. I did that in college with vacuum cleaners. I was not successful. Obviously, based on results, you were very successful. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I will tell you that it was out of necessity, because fresh out of graduate school with no job and no money, well, I had $40. So I can't say I was totally broke, but that's pretty darn close to being broke. But fresh out of graduate school, no job, no money, I had to make it happen. And back in the early to mid-1980s, personal fitness training as an industry did not exist. And so my challenge was twofold, in that I was not only introducing a new business to a community, I was introducing a new industry. And so, you know, there were some challenges that went along with that. And so with that $40 and a new pair of tennis shoes, my wife worked at a publishing company, and we had one of their artists put together a brochure for me with that $40 that I had. And then I literally walked door to door in Mission Hills, Kansas, which is a affluent suburb of Kansas City, and sold personal training door to door. Now, I think if you tried to do that these days, you'd probably get arrested. But I didn't know any better back then. And you know, even people that I, mentors and friends, and even my own wife, were skeptical of the business plan that I'd created for Kansas City's original personal fitness training center. And even my wife, the comment that she made, the quote was, "And people are going to pay you for that?" So, you know, in fairness to her, you know, no one had done this at that point. And so she didn't get it at that point, but now almost 40 years later, she gets it, and we've been blessed to have made a pretty good living from starting door-to-door selling personal training.
So your door-to-door sales tactic, how long did you go through that? Was it weeks, days, months, years?
It was more like weeks, because what's interesting is and I'm sure a lot of small businesses are like this, when you get that first best customer, And really, it took me not very long to get that first best customer. So many more quote-unquote best customers follow. And I was fortunate, because I was first to market with this industry, I was fortunate to get some amazing clientele that, you know, they told others in their little group about this new business. And so very quickly, my books filled to overflowing, really. And adding on top of that, I had taken a full-time job as a corporate wellness supervisor to supplement the income because I was newly married and, you know, had to pay bills. And obviously, my wife was working at a publishing company. I was working as a corporate wellness supervisor and doing the personal training job. And when it got to a point where I was basically working two full-time jobs, my wife came to me and said, choose one. And at that time, to be honest with you, she wouldn't have cared if I would have chosen the corporate job. That would have been the easy thing to do because it had, you know, the retirement plan and the safe county job and you know, just good benefits and everything. But my entrepreneurial spirit just wouldn't let me. So I obviously chose my own business and never looked back from that. And the great thing about the corporate wellness job, it actually gave me a lot of other contacts in the corporate wellness space, which we leveraged for many years and worked with some of the top companies in Kansas City through AYC Health and Fitness. So, you know, all of those happenstances that came along early on really blessed me and my family and my business more than I can say and share in just this short interview.
Well, and I think for the listeners, this might be a unique, well, certainly unique podcast for me. You're the first guy that created a whole industry that I've ever had on the podcast. So that's a first. And I imagine there's not too many people listening in that have had that experience and knowing someone like you. So you've gone from door to door. You've now created your own space. And I know it was at 75th and Mission. And now where is it located? Approximately?
We are at 78th and State Line Road.
And you haven't stopped there. You've gone beyond that now from just doing personal training. Tell us about that evolution. Ladies and gentlemen, he's gone yet another step up the ladder.
Well, over the course of my business, I've had a lot of opportunities that have come along. And the longer I've been in business, the higher level or greater the quality of opportunity has come. And so through rejection, sometimes comes blessing. And, you know, like Winston Churchill said, success is not final, failure is not fatal, it is the courage to continue that counts. And over the course of my career, I have written now over 30 books, but at the time I'd written, you know, three or four, and I was trying to get a major publishing deal through a publishing house and kept getting rejected. I got rejected six times before I finally decided, I'll just do it myself. So I published my first book by myself, self-published. It was actually very successful relative to the industry. It's a book called Treadside Manner, and it's a little play on a doctor's bedside manner. It's a book for personal trainers and some of the lessons that I had learned through my first 20, 25 years in business. And then I started writing more and just, you know, kind of settled into that self-publishing world. And one of my mentors came to me at one point and said, now, clearly you have a system in place to do that. And I would like you to share that system with the industry. And, you know, my first thought was, yeah, right, I've got a full-time job. I don't need another one. But he kept pushing and he kept pushing because he had a good 35,000 foot view of the industry and what the industry needed. And he saw that what I had done could serve the industry. And that's why I think it's so important to have people in your life that can help guide you through situations. And I've been, again, more than blessed with my mentors, starting with the original mentor, Jack LaLanne, who was my original mentor in the industry. And then a guy named Dr. Squat, whose real name is Fred Hatfield, and then Todd Durkin. And it was Todd that actually twisted my arm to expand what I did and help others in the training industry to publish their own book. And a strange thing happened. Very quickly, we discovered that more than just the training industry was interested in our services, and we suddenly were publishing books for financial companies, for real estate companies, for reality stars, for Olympic gold medalists, and the floodgates just opened like you cannot believe for our publishing company, which is called Scriptor Publishing Group. And Scriptor is Latin for author, writer, and that's where we got the name of it. But my business partner, Kelly Watson, who is in New York, and now we just added a third business partner, which is Todd Durkin in San Diego. So we're coast to coast from New York, Kansas City to San Diego, and we have published globally now over 200 books, and just, you know, the sky's the limit.
So Greg, tell us a little bit about your mentors and how they got you into this publishing space.
Mm-hmm. Well, starting with my original mentor, Jack LaLanne, who in his own right started an industry. He's the godfather of fitness and opened the first modern fitness center in 1936 as a 21-year-old young man. And, you know, doctors used to call him a charlatan and a quack. And then before he died, they actually called him the authority. So, you know, it just goes to show that when you have that passion and purpose and belief in yourself and know that you're doing the right thing, amazing things can happen. So he was my first mentor, and then a gentleman named Fred Hatfield, also known as Dr. Squat, who squatted 1,000 pounds as a 42-year-old man. Amazing story, was another one of my mentors. And then Todd Durkin, who has been a mentor of mine for more than a decade now, he came to me, I don't know, about 8 or 9 years ago and asked what I was doing relative to my book writing. Because I, at that time, I published, I don't know, 3 or 4 of my own books, maybe even 5 or 6, kind of lost track now. And he said, clearly you have a system. And I think that system could help others in the fitness industry. And my first thought was, yeah, right. I've already got a full-time job. I don't need another one. But he kept pushing and said, you know, really the industry needs what you're doing. And so as I started to do my due diligence, and I found through a survey that I did with fitness business owners that 9 out of 10 fitness business owners wanted to write a book. They just had no idea how to get started. So I knew I was onto something. And with Todd's guidance and my business partner, Kelly Watson, who Todd put me in contact with, you know, we've been in business now over 7 years, and we started in the fitness space. We quickly realized that it was other industries that needed what we were doing as well. We've published books for the financial services industry, real estate industry, Olympic gold, silver, bronze medalists, reality star, TV stars, and professional athletes. And the list goes on and on. And, you know, we've worked with more than 200 authors now. And I like to say that I'm in the business of making dreams come true, whether it's in the personal training field or publishing. You know, we like to help people make their dreams come true.
Could you have imagined the kid that just left Eastern Kentucky, spent $40 to get brochures out, walking around in his tennis shoes on the streets of Mission Hills, that he would become an international publisher?
Well, I think because I never doubted success, that whatever the vehicle is or was, you know, I think that I can say I dreamed big enough to allow that to be a possibility in my mind.
So what is your succession plan? Because obviously, this is something you put together. What is your long-term plan for yourself and your business?
Well, I think right from the get-go on my second and my third businesses here, the publishing company, right out of the gate, we planned for the end. And I think that's real important. Now, you know, going back to when I was 24 years old and laying out the personal training business, I didn't have the foresight to look 40, 50 years ahead in that regard. But we certainly started just not like we did with the publishing company. And then my product company, which is a company called Endless Rope. It's the world's first scalable rope climbing machine. But both of those businesses, from the moment I got involved, we planned for the end. And I would just encourage anyone going into a business to look at the end at the very beginning. And then I will also say that, to quote a line from a John Lennon song, that life is what happens while you're busy making other plans. So I think it's important to understand that even the best laid plans will sometimes have a bump in the road. And a good example of that is with the personal training business, the succession plan was in place. My son worked for me for about a decade, and he came into the business with an MBA and a great background. In my personal training business, I'm a sole proprietor. I'm 100% owner of this business. So when we were going to start to make the shift to my son becoming the owner and, you know, work it up to 50% at that point, you know, when I mentioned like the John Lennon quote about life is what happens while you're busy making other plans, quickly, when he took a job as a senior analyst for the Federal Reserve, that put a wrinkle in the succession plan. So, you know, now we're in the process of redoing that and revisiting that and, you know, having to rework it. But it's okay because, again, little bumps in the road are going to occur, but still being able to see the end at the beginning. And that's just having vision. That's having a little foresight. And I think being wise enough just through years of experiential knowledge and amazing mentorship. And I think that's one piece of advice I would give to anybody, is to find people that have been there, that have done that, and that are willing to share their experiential knowledge with you so that you in turn can share it with the next generation.
Or in the words of Professor Mike Tyson's, everybody has a plan until they get hit in the nose the first time.
That's exactly right. I love that quote as well.
Well, it seems like you've shared quite a bit of successes and struggles that you've seen. You've given us some advice to deal with, you know, setbacks, at least from the vantage point that you can set a plan, but things change. If you were going to give 2 to 3 pieces of advice to someone who is interested in laying out their succession plan, what would it be?
Well, I think it actually, Dave, comes from your book, Quiet Plans, Exciting Results, from Chapter 8, The Ball and Chain of Happiness. You've got to have vision. You've got to have drive, determination, and discipline. My wife calls that in me. She says that I got my PhD, and let me tell you, it's not a doctorate. PhD stands for pig-headed determination. I think you also have, and again, you write about this in that chapter about the ball and chain of happiness. You got to have passion. You got to have focus, perseverance. If you don't have perseverance, let me tell you, you're not going to be an entrepreneur. You're not going to be in business very long. You got to work through some things. And then you got to have leadership. You've got to be able to lead a team if you want to scale your business to any level of success. So I think that you laid it out very well in The Ball and Chain of Happiness.
And that was an unpaid for endorsement, ladies and gentlemen. I did not see that one coming. Thanks, Greg. And I want to thank you for your time today, because I think it was very valuable. The takeaway for everyone listening are a couple of things. You've just met someone that created a whole industry, which I think is amazing. But remember this guy, because he designed the succession plan up front. He went from coal mining in eastern Kentucky to worldwide publishing, and he did it on his own. So it's very encouraging and inspirational. Thank you, Greg. How can folks reach out to you and get to know you?
Yeah, I would just gregjustice.com, but I would just back up a little bit, Dave, and say that I did not do it on my own. I'm a man of faith, and I believe that, you know, that certainly I couldn't have done it on my own. I've had amazing mentors, friends, people in my life that have been willing to share and pour into me, and now it's my turn to give back.
Excellent. Really great words. If you're in search of assistance with any of the topics that you've heard from today, or any of the prior podcasts, please go to davesider.com and schedule a consultation. Also, make sure to subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave me a comment on your favorite podcast platform, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thanks again to everyone. Greg, thank you. And listeners, please hold tight. We've got more scheduled, some exciting guests coming up, and we look forward to talking with you soon. Take care. Remember that this podcast is provided for educational purposes. It does not constitute legal advice and is not intended to establish an attorney-client relationship. The recommendations contained in this podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every individual or business. In determining the best course of action, all business owners should consult with an attorney on their distinct circumstances.